Kaczmar. This is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar. Today's date is December 14th? Today's the 14th, our year of our Lord, 2021.
God bless.
And thank you for everyone for tuning in. We are live today from Toms River, New Jersey, and we have a full crew here today of Lifeguards Off Duty. So just want to get some housekeeping out of the way, which I was told not to do quickly. I was scolded. So my name is Dr. Michael Kaczmar. My name is Dr. Michael Kaczmar. I am a board certified reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, doctor of podiatric medicine. We have a webpage, Jersey Shore Foot and Leg Center.com. We have an email address, which is drkaczmar@icloud.com. And we are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Facebook and we're on YouTube video. So subscribe to us, ring the bell and come and see us. So, and we do have some other, we'll put during the show, if you guys want to check it out on our YouTube, we post information to get a hold of us. So I'm Dr. Michael Kaczmar. I'm here today. I'll introduce everybody. We do have a guest today, but we have Sean. Say hello.
Hello.
We have here, Tyler.
What's up, everybody?
And that's Tyler. And we have our guest today.
What's up?
What's up? How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. So nobody told me about what the show content is going to be today. So we're going to.
It's Troy Van Hise's favorite phrase, a weekend warriors.
Favorite phrase regarding you.
Oh, so
I think to think regarding everything.
Everything.
The amount I get it from him.
So why don't you just introduce who you are, like how long you've been on a beach patrol,
I've been a part of the beach patrol since 2013, so about 9 years, from Toms River, New Jersey, grew up on the beach, always going to Seaside Heights, so.
Where'd you grow up?
Toms River.
South. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember that. Yeah. So that's pretty good. So you're local. You're your local boy.
Yep. That's a man.
That's good.
I literally remember going to Seaside Heights when I was like a kid before. Like the my furthest memory back is watching a tourist hit a seagull on the head and then watching one of the lifeguards almost fight him.
What year was that? That was
in 2011, I think. It was like 2011.
Well, it wasn't me, was it?
No, it was. I know who it was. It was Murphy.
Who was it? Murphy.
Murphy. Yeah. I was right on Webster too.
So this is before you started working.
Yes, yeah, this is a few years before I started working. And then like finally, I was on the stand with him once, and I told him about that, and he was like, "Was that like 2 years ago?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yo, that was me." He was like, "I remember that." He's like, "Guy hit a seagull on the head with a shovel."
Yeah, people are cruel. Kids running after it.
All you guys grew up down the shore. I grew up in the woods. In Jackson.
Ugh.
Yeah, I can't believe you used to go to Seaside Heights as like your beach.
Was that your beach?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. That was just where I went because like I would go with my friends to do stuff on the boardwalk, you know, play games and stuff. And then we would just walk right onto the beach. Rather, the Seaside Park was boring. You know? I mean, the crowds weren't there, but like there was, nothing but a boardwalk. Like we went with our families, like when families from like our school or like church or whatever got together, it was always on 7th Avenue at Seaside Park. But like whenever it was like me and like my friends and stuff, we were always just running around Seaside up to no good.
Little blonde haired Grom.
Yeah. No, yeah. Sounds
what years was that? What years?
So that was probably 2009 to about 2011.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was like deep in the Jersey Shore era.
Yeah, that was, I don't think they were still there at the time, but like it was buzzing. Like that beach was insane. Like the beach, you can never find any sand. Like I remember like we would always be right next to the boardwalk because we couldn't get to the water.
We talked about that. MTV was really, really big crowds. But I did the same thing. I grew up, we moved down to Bayville in like 70. So there was nothing going on in summertime anywhere. Except Seaside, and we would, we'd come over here, and we would just terrorize the place, and because we all surfed, and then at night we would, you know, a bunch of my buddies, I remember we would just go crazy. We get on, you jump on the rides illegally, you know, we get, there's pools. There was a big pool. We used to jump in there and we get thrown out, but I guess nothing changes. You got, you know, you guys, everything, you come over because that's where everything is.
It's, it's just like a hub for people wanting to be degenerate,
especially in the summer.
Yeah. It's a great place to go.
So lifeguard, I know personally lifeguarding's been a big part of your life, your whole life.
Yeah. I guess you could say I come from like a pedigree of lifeguards.
Yeah.
We're both my brothers are twins. They're much older than me. So like just anytime I went to the beach with my family, I was up in Monmouth County, like sitting up behind there.
What beach? What beach?
Spring Lake.
Oh, I like Spring Lake.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. That place
is incredible. I love Manasquan.
I messed that up. It's beautiful. I always tell people your brothers worked in Asbury.
Yeah, no, Spring Lake.
My bad.
Yeah.
Are they still working there? Are they still working
there? No. The one went to Seven Presidents after a few years. And then the other one stayed there, was a crew chief for a while. He was like their main like tournament rower.
How old are they?
Like 40, like 7.
Oh, so that's how you got the, is that what inspired you to become a lifeguard?
Yeah, no, I remember like anytime when I was a kid, I was like just sitting on the back of their beach, just thinking they were the coolest people in the world.
Wow.
Like now that I'm older, not so much, but like, sorry, Dave, if you're watching, but, great. I remember my one brother made like a rescue, like when our whole family was there and like him walking out of the water with some woman, like getting like a standing ovation for everyone. I was like, that's my brother.
Do you remember being like,
I want to be that.
Were you like nervous watching it as a kid or were you like, he's got this?
No, I didn't realize there was a rescue. I didn't realize it was him until I saw him walking. I just saw a big commotion and I ran down with my family. And then I saw David walking out with someone and I was just like, oh, did he just rescue someone? Like that actually happens? I was like, that's so cool.
Did you ever have to be rescued?
No. I was always pretty good in the water. I was always really comfortable in the ocean.
I don't know. Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, it seems like, I mean, we've had quite a, you know, few people that I know over the years, it's the tradition, you know. I mean, I mean, I've seen people, it's the third and fourth generation of, you know, so that's really great. I tell you, I can see with Ava, you know, because you guys see, I get her on a beach. I mean, it's something when you could hand over the baton to somebody, and that's great.
And especially when I started becoming a lifeguard, talking lifeguarding with them, they gave me all the cheat codes to like not getting messed with while I was on the beach, where they told me if there was like a torp pump, that they were lying and they were just messing with me, or like a was it the Orlock key, or jetty wrench,
go get 50 feet of shoreline,
something like that. They gave me like literally first day, like, and I remember like it was like Kenny Doherty tried to get me to get a torp pump once, and I'm like, I know that's not a real thing.
Yeah,
he was very upset.
We've had rookies wound up for like a long time on that.
I remember we sent someone to like headquarters to look for like the Orlock key, and like they didn't even tell them, they just like, oh, like Tyler has it down there, like, and they just like kept it going.
Yeah, well nowadays, you know, you can't even do that stuff anymore, so you know,
it's, like, it's good fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so we definitely we showed you the studio a little bit before, and I know you're like a fiend for old gear, so what's your like favorite part of the studio in here?
Ooh.
Favorite part of this.
Well, we got the belt up there.
I can tell you it's not any of the plaques, like the one behind Cashmere. I mean the piece of the old roller coaster is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you want to shift the camera over so people could look at it. Just the one camera there, Tyler.
Let me see if I can get it.
Don't mess up.
You're good. Just turn a little bit. So keep going.
Right there. Corner.
Old top, right?
Cashmere's old diaper.
Yeah, that's my old uniform right there.
I don't think we've talked about that piece of the roller coaster on air.
That's how you told the story about your surfboard.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, didn't Cap get that or something? Who ended up with that?
Rob.
For the record, wait, everybody, it is a the piece of the purple roller coaster that was off Casino Pier in Seaside Heights after.
Was that that was the one that was like the picturesque,
the big one, iconic right? one? Yeah. It's after Hurricane.
The one that I'm sure a lot of people have tattoos on their bodies.
Yeah, we have a piece of it.
I'm sure.
In the studio.
Pretty cool.
What's the story with that?
Sean, can you pull that picture up, maybe?
Yeah, I could try. What's the story with that?
How did you get that? Actually, I don't even think I know how you got that.
No. Rob gave it to me. Connor, Rob gave. But what happened was there was after we some of us had access to the beach because we had to go over there. I was gone. I was actually away for 2 weeks when the storm hit. I left that Saturday, I think, on a plane, and the storm hit like the next day. I was like one of the last planes out. I'm not kidding around. And so I watched this from, you know, afar. I was in October, so my boat, I had a big fishing boat. It was up on blocks. You know, I figured it would be okay. But actually, the whole area flooded, and my boat, you know, floated away. Yeah, and it didn't get damaged that bad. But we were talking about. I had a board, a Zulu board, which was a competition board. And I don't. You guys didn't work there yet. Probably you weren't working there. But there was this big Hamilton Avenue had a. It was an old bathrooms that got converted into storage areas for us. Mm-hmm. It was huge, and we had all our stuff in there. And I had my Zulu board in there, and that thing just got blasted out. And all the stuff got thrown out into the ocean. And I'm watching national news with all my, you know, all these other people. And I see my Zulu board banging against the pier. I'm not making it up. I never saw that thing ever again. But the,
that's the roller coaster piece.
Right. Right. And, I actually have pictures. We should download them of actually the boardwalk. I went on the boardwalk when I got back 2 weeks later. You weren't allowed to go over there. They closed the whole area down. I don't know if you guys did. And, but the boardwalk was still intact, but it was all wavy. And every garbage can was still up. It's amazing. Cause they had like this, they put, you know, wood around it, but the roller coaster was in the water and it was totally trashed. There's parts still sticking up. And so, but a lot of it was washing up, believe it or not. So people were picking up the pieces of metal because
my rookie year was the first year after Sandy happened, 2013.
Yeah. So what was it like walking into that?
Because
the headquarters was like a trailer, right?
Yeah. The headquarters was a trailer. Brakes, everything was in the trailer. Was it the boardwalk was new?
Mm-hmm. The boardwalk. Right, they put all brand new.
Boardwalk was brand new. But then, like, just things would wash up. Things would wash up.
Everything was washing up.
Like,
I remember
once, there was like a high tide, and I saw just like a piece of white metal sticking out of the sand.
Yeah.
So when the tide like went out later in the day, like I ran down to like pick it up, and it ended up being like this gigantic piece of fencing from the pier that was like as big as this table, and it took like three or four guards to take it to like rip it out because it was under like 4 feet of sand.
Yeah.
Like it. And just things were washing up. Brooms were washing up. Just like old pieces of the pier. I remember once me and Dom were sitting, because I sat Sheridan too that year, which is right next to the pier. Like just, I was the first lifeguard stand north of the pier. And a silicone foot from one of the haunted houses washed up.
Did it look like a horror foot?
A woman was walking out of the water with a foot. Just a foot. And me and Dom were just like... and she's like, it must be from the haunted house. And she walked away, and him and I just looked at each other. We are having so much fun with this foot. And it, as gross as it sounds, we probably kept it for the whole summer in our box.
Yeah.
And like Dom would like put it up his sweats, so like it looked like his foot. And then he'd be talking to people, and he'd like kick it off the stand and stuff. Man. People would freak out. He would hit people with it.
It's funny. Like one of the funny things about the job is like the little the trinkets we collect like throughout the summer. Well, like remember the little dinosaur?
I still have that. It's on my computer at home. Cuddles. If Busack's watching, he's gonna be like rolling around because I stole it from him.
What is Cuddles, Adam?
Yeah, explain the Cuddles. Thing.
Cuddles. I don't really honestly know much about Cuddles other than like Busack was a guard who annoyed me a lot. So and he like had this ridiculous like attachment to it. So like one day he went on break and I just took it. Simple as that, just to cause him pain. And then like he went around like freaking out about it, and like I didn't say anything. And then like next year I took a picture and printed it out and like started putting them up like around the headquarters, like taunting him about it. And he found out it was me.
Do you remember
he deserved it.
You remember, so with the
I love you, Zach, though.
So we didn't have headquarters. You remember we had to use the outhouses? So I'll tell you that
I would just go in Spicy's. I was like, I don't want to use one of these outhouses that's been sitting.
What they did is eventually they gave us our own outhouse.
Yeah.
So if people don't know, there was the headquarters was totally trashed. We couldn't use it. And then we set up in a trailer. And then I don't know if we did it down in the north end, but we actually had the town put up a tower. You know, we had to get something built so we could see. But I remember the outhouse. They said, because I wouldn't, I was agree with you. I wouldn't, I was like, listen, I'm not working anymore. I'm not going to go in an outhouse. I'm too old for this shit.
Go in, I could walk in the Spicy's barefoot.
So we got our own, we got our own outhouse, but we used to be, I'd go in there and it'd be like, you know,
yeah,
yelling at you, yeah, you know, can you not, and well, sometimes like, pay people from the boardwalk. They're like,
it's also like you have all the guards that have break at the same time. So like you have bad. Like, you have like 8 or 9 guards that all have to use it all one after another. And I'm like, I'll go to Spicy's.
But that's the whole town was, I don't think there was any public bathrooms,
nothing.
Really, think about that.
And despite all that, you were still hooked from the beginning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous.
Well, it was like a dream of yours to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it was something that, like, because of my brothers, like when I was 14, I became like a lifeguard at like a pool in a lake because that's like the oldest I could mm-hmm. work. And I immediately got a job at that. And then once I turned 18, like I went to the beach.
That year that you worked, the first year, the rookie year, and it was right after Sandy. So we didn't have like showers. Like, how was it? Like, how was it different? So it's
bare bones.
So yeah. So what from your
bare bones life?
Right. So tell me, like, you know, what you remember? How was it different?
It was just a little tiny like office that like couldn't even fit all the guards in it. Like, mm-hmm. so like when we had roll call in the morning, it was like half the guards were in, half the guards were out. So like it was real intimidating if like Cap decided to all of a sudden call you out as a rookie in front of like everyone because you were like right there. You're like right in front of him,
yeah.
Which may or may not have happened to me a few times.
And you only worked for Rob Connor, correct?
Yeah, only Rob Connor. He's the only cap in there.
Yeah, he is cap.
What didn't they have when you started?
They didn't have showers. They didn't have bathrooms.
No, like, did they have enough stands?
We had stands. We didn't have boats. So, like, my first year rowing was my second year. So I didn't have to worry at all about the stress of having to get inside a boat rookie year, which honestly made it a lot easier.
Right. So the reason why I'll give you the background because you guys don't know. All our stands were destroyed. Because we had them.
From Sandy.
The stands were put back where we put them. We put them about three, four blocks in. And so they were all gone. Our boxes were all gone, almost all. Well, we actually recovered some of the boxes and our boats. Not all of them got destroyed, but a lot of them. So we had to get the boats repaired and we had to have new stands. Doug Priest made a lot of the stands. Yeah. So that
stands were all really nice.
Yeah. And
they weren't the beat up ones.
We lost our cans. Cause the boxes were, I was telling the story. We had, Fisher Boulevard over here on this side of the bay. It's about 5-6 miles. There was a box. One of our boxes got washed all over there. So, excuse me, we lost a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I'm trying to remember when you first came in. So, you didn't, you know, it was a whole different. Yeah.
We still, like, the piers were still just destroyed.
Funtown
Pier was just garbage. It was just destroyed wood. You couldn't run around it. You couldn't do anything around it. It was, like, genuinely dangerous because, like, there might be a sharp piece of wood just under the sand. You know what I mean?
How was the ocean that summer? Because I don't remember. I mean, it blends in with me, but that's your first year. You know, maybe it's really sticking in your head. Did we have a lot of rescues? Was it a bad ocean? I don't remember.
From what I remember, we had a lot of rescues just because I was terrified of going on rescues 24/7. And like Cap was like, oh yeah, for your first like 40 some hours, you'll never sit by yourself. Well, that lasted till like my second day pretty much. And I just Murphy and like the other guy were like, oh, we're both just going to do things on the beach real quick. And we're just going to leave you up here. I think the thing that was said to me was, don't let anyone drown. And that was pretty much all the direction I got. Like, there was no like training. There's no like certification that like I had to go through to like pass like some test. I kind of was just like put up there. I had my certifications for CPR.
Well, you get trained on the job.
Yeah, you get trained on the job.
Yeah, I mean, you did pass that. You had to swim. What do I tell you guys? I said, you have to be able to swim.
Yeah. And then watching the water. Right. I'm like, I don't know if that guy's too far out or not. I don't know what it looks like. Well, I've never actually seen someone in distress in the water. Yeah. Like I was a pool lifeguard for 3 years and never saw someone in distress.
Right. So that's why, see what we do. And that's why, you know, when you say, you know, when we're, that's why I sit up there with the binoculars when you guys are working out or somebody's left on a stand, you know, that's why we have the secondary watch. We watch you guys. So you're never alone out there. You're never, ever. I mean, I could tell you maybe, you know, different supervisors, but I never, ever not watch the water. And speaking, you got like me and Troy up there.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but it is difficult. That's another whole thing.
That was the thing. Like I was terrified of like getting called over the radio because I would be publicly corrected or yelled at in front of the entire.
How many times did I bust your nuts?
Dude, you busted my balls even when I was a senior guard for
I still will.
Cashmore, 1 year we were doing the Boyd Memorial Swim.
How bad did I bust your
And balls? I was on the jet ski from 6 a.m. to like 10:45. Mm-hmm. All right. Doing the Boyd Swim, putting out all the stuff on the jet ski. And I came back. I got to Lincoln Avenue where I was sitting with my partner. Like, I sat on the stand, and then the guy that was the senior guy on the beach, two stands over, took the first break, which means staggering it, we have to, like, I have to take the first break, two stands down.
Right.
To leave the senior guy in the middle to watch his junior guard and my junior guard. So I get back up to the headquarters, all right, and I'm just like, I sat on the stand for 10 minutes. I felt terrible leaving my partner there because he'd been alone since 9 o'clock, you know. He had 2 hours by himself. He's going to have another 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And you come flying through the doors in my face, yelling at me for how the flags were set up on Lincoln and how
there you go,
too
baby.
Close together and this and that. And I'm like, catch. I sat it for 10 minutes and then I got called on break. Dude. and I was like fuming after you left. Cause I was like, my stand partner, like, oh, he knows. I was like, I set these flags up in the same spots every single day. He's been my partner for a month and he didn't set these up. And I come to give him what you gave me. And he was like, dude, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Cashmore set the flags up. And so you yelled at me.
That's right, baby.
For how you set up.
That's
the
right,
flag.
Baby. That's right.
Yelling at me for stuff that you've done on my beach.
Is that kind of twisted training technique?
I'm still convinced you did that on purpose just to set me up so you can yell at me.
Manipulating us.
You're learning my techniques.
You come over to my stand. You move some swimmers in the wrong direction and leave. Then get up on the radio and
then call me out for them.
Tell me that I got swimmers in the wrong spot.
Keeps you guys on your toes.
Turn the radio off.
But we do. We, you know, the thing is though, we do have secondary, and we try to have different layers of protection because not everybody. Listen, everybody can miss something, and we don't. You know what the thing is with rookies and people who are, it's really hard to remember. I always say this, and we were talking about when Timmy was here. You know, we from our supervisor standpoint, you know, we hire you guys, and it's really hard to remember. You know, who has 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, and even at that, who's good or bad? You know, by the middle of the day, you know, or you start to, okay, this guy is good, that guy's. That's why one of the things about setting up the schedule, when you know Troy and I and Rob, it's so important. We try to put like and dislike, or who's a good swimmer, who's got more experience, and it's really, the lineup is very, very difficult. And I think that every one of you guys should, like, at least one day say, okay, you do the schedule today, Brzezinski, or you do it, Tyler.
Oh well, first thing I do is I put Tyler at the bay.
No, seriously, and then I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing, and that's one of the reasons why I get very phobic about having people who don't have a lot of experience, and you got to really watch how you do it, but. We try to watch you guys. I'm sorry.
How much thought really goes into like picking the senior guards that sit those stands?
I've always wondered that too. Is it like you guys are picking like a lineup?
No, because like
a lot, a lot. Believe it or not,
I've seen a trend about the places I sit on the beach, and I'm always on a southern end stand. If I'm on north end, I'm on Sheridan. If I'm south end, I'm on Lincoln. And it was like that. It's like that from my rookie year. I sat Sheridan for 2 years, and then I got moved to Lincoln for the next 5.
Right. Well, here's the thing about that, and it's not a touchy situation, but every beach patrol, there's a hierarchy. I have a certain way that I would run it. There's other people who have certain ways they want to run it, and but generally speaking, whoever is putting the schedule together tries to have the talent spread out because you need to do that. Not everybody's a good swimmer. Not everybody can see the water real well. And so you have to really try to, do that. I prefer when I first started, we set the same stand all the time, 7 days a week. You sat Hamilton, that was your whole beach, and you had one partner and you guys got to know each other, and each lifeguards on each side got to know each other, how everybody was, and you knew your water. I thought that was a better way to go.
I love that personally.
But the problem is, like, you guys now, how many days a week do you work?
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that.
Seven. Oh. Well, full time. When I was full time.
No, right now. But now, I mean, right now, most people.
Like on weekends? Come on. Or just guys in general.
Weekend warrior.
I work 2 days a week. I work 7 days a week, including my other job.
What has happened, what's trending now more and more, is that people were going to work 2-3 days a week. I was just talking to Joe Cassino about La Valette. It's every beach. Chip Bruce, who runs State Park.
I feel like when it's people like Adam, like, what's the big deal? Because he has a full-time job. So no, if we have extra people coming in.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not a – I'm sorry. Interrupt.
That's all I got.
No, it's not a big deal from the standpoint. It's not dangerous, but it's hard to make the schedule because you don't. It's easy when it's Tyler and you every day. You know, there's no problem making a schedule. I know what it is. It's brain dead. But if I'm going to make the schedule and I have seven guys today that weren't there yesterday, and I got to remember, okay, how's their talent? You know, match them up with other people. We do make a lot of decisions up there based on where we want the best talent, and depend on the ocean. There's, you know, on and end stands are very important.
Yeah.
So
I feel like end stand guards usually stick to end stands. If that makes sense. Like I never got pulled outside of an end stand. Like I was always sitting Lincoln or Sheridan.
See,
if I got moved, it was Sumner Avenue.
See,
but the thing is, like what I've seen this year, especially with me coming in on weekends, was like I'm an 8-year lifeguard. So like if I come in, I outrank everyone on South End just with how long I've been there. And those are six guys that are sitting those same stands from what I saw at least. And it would be hard for like McKee, like if I came in and like they wanted to sit me on Webster, I would uproot you from the stand that you're used to.
I've taken Lincoln from you.
Oh, you've taken Lincoln.
But
right now, like if I jumped in to Lincoln from you know that water better than me. Even if I outrank you, like at this point, like our rank difference is really
two things that we look at. So two things that every supervisor I'll put my neck out and say that everybody out there, whoever's listening, probably thinks the same thing. You know, we look at your experience when we're doing a schedule, how many years you got, but more importantly, you know, how good are you a swimmer and how great, how can you see the water? Are you really intuitive about picking people out who are drowning? And that's how you have to do it. And you try to match and mix. And sometimes we have days where, you know, we have a lot of weak people there. I mean, not everybody's super weak, but there are people who are better than others. You know, I think our weakest girl or boy on the beach is better than, you know, 99% of people out there.
Yeah.
We have a strong crew, but you know, and everybody, and some days some people come in, they're not feeling good. You come in with a cold or something. Now with Corona, it's a different story, but you know, if you come in like, or you worked at, so we got guys like Brown, you know, he works at night.
Hey,
the guy comes in, he's like, you know, he had 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if we don't need him, we'll say, well, Brown, go home and sleep, you know, come in later, you know?
So, it was just an interesting trend to see these last 2 years. Cause the weekend warriors that would come in all outranked the normal like full-time guys essentially. So like when you had like me, like Fusco, Birdsaw, and like some of the other guys come in, and like I looked at like the North End lineup, and the North End is usually less experienced than the South End, just because South End's where everything pops off, all the bars are down there and everything, which is completely understandable. But like on the weekends that I worked, our North End lineup was like me 9 years, like Birdsaw, but like 10 years, like Fusco, 12 years, Tyler, 9 years, another guy, like 7 years, like every single guy outranked the South End one. And it was just funny to see how much coverage we had on weekends on the North End with the weekend guards coming in. Cause we had juicy lineups on the North End.
That was like, that was, we something had
like proper, like six or seven, like really experienced, proper South End guards who have been in the thick of it, you know, sitting on North End. You know what I mean?
And well, you know what? But you got to understand too, is the North, there used to be a difference. Oh, North End is not that busy, not that crazy. You could put your B team down there. That's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both sides are really, could get really crazy and really busy. So, these weekend warriors, which you should explain what weekend warriors mean, but when we have somebody who comes in with that much experience, it takes a lot of pressure off us, on us and the supervisors. Because then, you know, you know the guys on the bench really know their stuff and they can handle. You know, it's just not lifeguarding. You know what it is? It's lost kids. It's not, you know, somebody's passed out on the beach, and it always is that nine things happen at one time. You have two rescues going on. You have five lost kids, and you got to, you know, really mellow yourself out. And if somebody's yelling and screaming, my kid's drowned. You know, they're not. They're missing. Yeah. They're walking on the other end of the beach.
You just lost sight of them.
But we explain what a weekend warrior. Who's going to talk? Because no, for our podcast people and people on YouTube, maybe they don't know what a weekend warrior is. But can you
want me to explain the weekend warrior? The weekend warrior are the guards who have full time jobs Monday through Friday, and then decide to give up their weekends and come back and work on the beach anyway.
It is a real struggle to get people to come back to tan and work out and swim.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Absolutely. Those are exhausting.
I'm glad you do it, but
it's exhausting. No, honestly, these last 2 years, weekend warriors weren't like a thing. Like when I was like a younger guard, I never saw guys that were just came in for Saturday and Sunday, then would go back.
Yeah, no.
That's something that's been happening a lot more recently, than in the past.
It's going to trend that way. Like I said, all we've been seeing this for the past, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 years. You're going to have part-time people now, mm-hmm. and it's more and more. It used to be 2 or 3, 4 or 5. I tell you right now, it's most of the beaches last summer, it was probably 70% of the your lifeguard. Amount of lifeguards that you have mm-hmm. were part-time.
Yeah. So does that concern supervisor staff? Because I like when people come back and have experience and you can look to your left or right.
Yeah, it's not concerning. I mean, you got a lot of talent. It just that you have to then make the schedule every day. It's more work for sure. Mm. And, think about it. Back in the day with John Boyd, it was the same. The same mm-hmm. two guys sat on the same stand. it's like, what was the schedule? They just photocopy it. Now you have to really go through it. I think it's great. I think it brings in a lot of, diversity, and people are more on top of it. You don't get kind of lazy. If you come in for a couple of days, you're all fired up, and then you look forward.
You're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But unfortunately that's
the best part of my week.
What's that?
It's the best part of my week. Yeah. I love coming back.
Yeah.
I'm more comfortable sitting in the wood that I am on the back of the beach with a beer, just because it's hard for me to relax when I'm in that setting on the beach. That's where I can't see what's going on. If I'm at a beach and I hear a whistle, I'm usually picking my head up and looking at what it was.
Right. If you
just instinctually, mm-hmm. and I tend to just scan anyway. I tend to judge whatever lifeguard is on the stand, whether it's seasides or not, about how they're keeping their water. It's just it's hard for me to turn it off, and it's hard for me to relax, because I'll hear a whistle, especially in other beaches, because a lot of other beaches do the double whistle. And when I hear two whistles back to back, in my mind, that's the start of a runner, which signals our rescues. So I jump, it's hard to turn that off. And I would rather be sitting the stand on a weekend, not getting paid, than sitting on the back of the beach.
Yeah, well, when you Hell ask, yeah. and when Sean, you ask about, what's preferable, I'd rather have a part-timer who has a lot of experience,
yeah,
like our guest, as opposed to a 16-year-old kid, and even a 17-year-old kid, because, they could have a lot of experience. They could have started a junior lifeguard program. They could have been there for 5, 6, 7 years, and we talked about that, and a lot of them have got great experience. So I don't want to belittle that either, because Timmy was talking about, that there's some great, great 16, 17-year-old kids coming out of there. But again, it's hard. How much experience do they have? And so it goes back and forth. I think the way it's turning out, it's a blessing in disguise. We didn't do this before because we didn't have to. We had plenty of people who wanted to work, but now we don't have it. Things are changing. So I think it's going to get more and more opportunity for people to come in, as long as you guys could stay in shape. That's the thing. I mean, if you're working at Wall Street 6 days a week, and you come on a Sunday and you're and you're getting older. No, but I mean, that's the only thing that I could see. But I'm very happy about it. But it's a little bit more work, but we do agonize over the schedule.
It's like kind of keeping you ready for a season of your sport or whatever, just,
So listen to this now. But now we were just talking about this before we started the show. So now there's new rules and regulations, or new regulations coming down, or recommendations for first aid. You have to have this really comprehensive first aid. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be, it might be 20 hours.
Jeez.
And we're going to have to teach it, and it's going to be mandated. So, that's another side of the coin. We want to have young kids. We want to try to have part-times, but then you have to have the training. They're actually going to, come down harder and harder on the training. They want us to train for everybody who's going to use the ATV, train for that, have it documented. you know, have a very.
Are you going to do any training for the
PWC? Jet ski? Yes, everything.
My brother was someone who trained like lifeguards. Went out and did like was like certified. Like went out to like California, right. Hawaii, or something like that.
Well,
got like certified to teach. He's now a like water safety instructor at the Monmouth County. Police academy.
Well, the reason I say this, of course, you know, the kids, two kids who died, you know, we had two lifeguards who died. So there, you know, you have OSHA and other entities looking at this and saying, you know, we want to have it documented. You got to have the training. Because, you know, whoever drives a truck or ATV, you run somebody over or you get hurt yourself. So these are going to be more things that are coming into play. So you work, say, you know, I get a part-time guy who works, say, 2 days a week. How are we going to train them? You know, so it's going to, it raises, you know, it raises challenges. So from a standpoint, so you ask me, you know, it's just more work. It's harder to do, but it's worth the work. In my opinion, it's worth the aggravation and the more work because we get more quality lifeguards on the stand who have more experience. So I think it's a good thing. So hopefully, you know, hopefully you'll keep on coming back and back and back.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
I do it like a year by year basis. I usually make the decision in like June.
You'll be back. You'll be back.
It's like a June. That's a June decision.
There's also the slight competition between you and Tyler over years and when Tyler.
Well, if I just don't come back, he doesn't have anything over me.
Why?
Yeah, that doesn't make
sense.
Because
your rank is meaningless off the beach for me. What are you going to do? Pull rank at the bar?
I don't throw years around like that.
Well,
said exactly like someone who throws years
away. Yeah, who will do so.
I think nothing's
worse than Juliana. I came back after a gap summer. So she was in my class as like a rookie. And now she came back with 1 year experience.
Ooh, does
and
she boss you around?
In my first day back, I set up my stand. And it was a little too close for Juliana's liking. And she radioed down to me to have me move my entire stand. Like
really?
15 yards to the south. Wow. And I looked at her and I was just like, how about we both move our stands 7 yards to the south? And she just goes, rank.
That's brilliant.
And I was just like, come over here and make me, Juliana.
She's tough. Yeah. Well,
she would have. I would have been terrified if she walked over. Not gonna lie.
So what'd you do? You did it.
I did it. I just so mad. And then I dressed her super properly now over the radio. I called her like Miss Senior Guard Julie Ballerini, stuff like that.
No, we got to get her on here. We'll get her perspective on the stand moving.
Yeah, she'll make Tyler. She'll pull you out of that seat. She'll be like, I want to sit there.
She got to have my spot.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be upset about that, Tyler.
So
I want that spot, Tyler.
You want this spot?
Yeah,
this is my spot.
If I only have one more year,
you, Julie, no one's getting this chair from me.
So let's talk about
how yours is a different color.
It's I know. Black. Honestly, what is this, the guest chair?
Yeah, you're in the guest chair.
That's, yeah, that's a guest chair. Right, so keep going. So what's
Adam? I want to ask you another question. We all have we tend to give each other nicknames, right? Sean, we call Key. I, for some reason, they call Durs
because Andreas is too long.
Yeah, your name.
And also, people tend Andres. To mispronounce it like I do. So, like, that's too long. You got to cut that off to Anders. And then that's also just too long. So, Durs.
I think it was actually a workaholics joke.
I don't know.
That Charlie O'Connor made. Cashmar, what do they call you?
Just Doc. We have a just say hello.
They just
to,
call you Doc.
Yeah, bro, Laura Berg. Say hello there. We have somebody on our, you know, comment hello. There.
Yeah, no, now that I'm on the podcast, you guys aren't going to get any comments.
But, what's your favorite nickname you've been given?
I've been given. I think everyone would be upset with me if I didn't say Bazon. And I honestly take pride in that nickname.
How did that nickname came about?
Because I hold the record for days consecutively sat at the bay in Seaside Heights. Yeah.
But not by a rookie.
Not by a rookie. No, why I take pride in it.
As a senior guard.
32 days as a senior guard. In a row, no days off at the bay.
That's got to be some kind. Well,
just rotted on that stand. So hot back
there. That's got to be some kind of like all time record for even just lifeguarding days straight.
Yeah, because I mean, I didn't need. I didn't. You need know. A you day know. Off. I was at the bay.
You know.
Yeah.
Like Yeah, you can make a lot of money though if you, you know, now with the time and a
those
half.
Those paychecks
you know?
Were juicy.
You make yeah, time and a half.
Make man. A lot of money sitting at the
oh
bay.
Oh my gosh.
Next thing you know, we're just going to be like lining up for the bay job every day. Like whoever gets there first gets to sit the bay.
Well, you know, yeah, it used to be funny because like when you first started, like we when I had Al here, airs, we all started in the bay first rookie year, a couple of weeks. A
couple of days.
And then and then you go back up. And then what happened was, you know, I'd be on the south end and we'd be brutal up there. I remember once I got a, you know, summertime flu. I was sick. And so I got put down. Then you don't go home. They put you down the bay. So down the bay and I start to feel better. It's like great down there. I'm getting paid. You know, I'm doing crab cages. You know, the guy has the marina over there. I'm hanging out. You know,
taking the kayak out.
And, you know, I don't talk, but, you know, a lot of these, you know, girls are down there. You know, they're bringing their you know, little
I
kids.
I saw no girls.
Right, right. And here's the thing. And then I remember I you know, and this was John Boyd, and it's like 3-4 days. You're like, how you feeling? How's tomorrow? I'm like, oh man,
that's so much work.
And I was
so
like,
hard.
I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. I think I still have a fever. And then, you know, I remember they came down and they saw me there, you know, making crab cages and having lunch and drinking. That was it. I was right back.
You
to,
know,
it was
Doc,
bad.
Doc Dishkus has the best bay story I've ever heard in my life. I'm not going to tell it for him. If he wants to tell it on air, he can.
But the point I was going to follow is that, so what it used to be is, and we don't do that anymore, but we would say, okay, you're going to go down the bay if, you know, if you missed a rescue or you came in late.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, and it was just, okay, you can, but then, you know, it started to get where people, that's love great. Yeah, love that. I'm going to go down here, you know, get your girlfriend or boyfriend.
If you're going to punish me,
come have my girlfriend bring me lunch.
If you're going to punish me, the way to punish like a lifeguard is making him sit like Sumner Avenue on a Saturday by himself.
Right.
Like that's the hardest work you're ever going to do.
And I said to Al, because Al was here, and I remember this was back in the 90s. It was in the 90s. I'm like, Al, these guys love going down here. I said, in fact, I think they, you know, you're not hurt. Yeah. Like you said, put them with me up in the South End and, you know, and we'll do the workouts. You go down here, you know, you're playing around.
It was easiest 32 days.
What was bad though, you went, see, there's a North Bay, right? It's still the North Bay. Yeah. It used to be a South Bay. And that was like the pits. It was right next to the road. Cars, people throw like beer cans out and hit you in the head.
Like the Goo Lagoon in SpongeBob.
Yeah. it was like always rocky, and it was like the worst place in the world. And that was the really bad. And I don't know what they finally closed it down, but
I guarded a crabbing tournament.
Really?
At the bay once. Yeah,
I got so no one fell in.
Huh?
So like no one fell out of the dock.
Literally, pretty much. But I got I had someone take a picture of me there. I was holding my can. I had like a raincoat on before the event started. It was in front of like the crab shack. And I made it my profile picture on Facebook. And like 6 months later, I get a text from one of our supervisors. He's like, did you steal one of those rain jackets? Like, why is your profile picture on Facebook one of those rain jackets?
Oh, boy.
I was like, no, I didn't steal it. I just had a picture taken when I was there. But yeah, he thought I stole it. I was about to be in big trouble.
Tyler mentioned that
the township was going to charge me for it.
Oh, boy. Tyler mentioned that I like gear. And I just want to let for the record, I've never stolen any gear from Seaside Heights ever.
Just from each other.
No, never. I don't have anything.
No, yeah, you don't.
I return everything, even the shorts.
I want to say something about you because, you know, our guest. So what I remember, you know, first of all, I got a good story for the Bay. I'll tell you if you want to hear it after this. But we really always had a thing about how you look, you know, your hair, you know, shaved. And it's getting like now it's like, you know, but I remember you were one of the ones who, you know, you had, and I always never gave you a hard time. I defended you, trust me, because you know you had your long hair,
sunshine,
flowing,
sunshine.
And let me tell you something. You don't know the battles I had. Because they're like, he's gonna get it. I'm like, I said, listen, he, long as he could make a rescue, I don't care. You could have hair down to your butt. Remember, I used to tell you, I said, I don't care what you look
like. Like some guys, if they grow their hair out in the summer and they're spending like 6 days a week on the beach, it kind of gets gross. But like. I mean,
no.
I had the mane.
Yeah, you had the mane.
You can't tell me to cut that. It was like white.
No. I remember that.
You know how much work it took? You know how much work it took to get it to look like that?
So you broke the mold. So you were one of the guys. So I think that you
it
were
was
one
in
of,
my 5-year speech for Troy. Right. When Troy spoke about me, he spoke about like, he was like, I can't get him to cut his hair.
No, because so
he's I can't do it.
You broke the trend. You broke the, you know, with the Marine haircut, you know, above the ears and everything. And
I paved the way.
Your hair is beautiful.
Thank you.
I really mean that.
And, you know, like with you, with the beard. I know everybody wants to be, you know, but that's an interesting thing, though, with the hair.
It gets
and,
hot, though.
What's that?
The beard gets hot.
Sun protection.
Like, I grow a nice beard, but like.
Well, what I felt bad was for the one lifeguard, you know, he had a mullet and he had a mustache. And I don't know if they made it. They said, cut your mustache off.
You can't break that pairing up.
No, right. You can't.
You can't do that.
He looked worse. He looked like an idiot without a mustache. I mean, you can't.
Remember what does that say about him? Where he like looks better with a mustache? It's like,
I put
a mustache in, and it is. Oh man, it's terrible.
We had one of the guys who worked on the beach, and I hope he's listening. His name is Sam Britton. He was one of our officers, and Sam during the winter he would wear a mustache. He'd have a mustache, right? And when he shaved that off, it was a 180 degree difference person. And you know, and I don't think he liked shaving at all, but you know, and I don't want to say he looked better, but you know, so that's the thing. So let me just tell you one bay story, okay? You want to talk about a bay, real quick bay story? Do you want to hear it?
What do you got?
Yeah. So I was down the bay again. I was sick, and I'm by myself, and this guy comes up. You're gonna love this one. This guy comes up with I don't know at the time, one of those horns, you know, for like a boat horn, you know, the can. It's like real loud in case there's distress.
Yeah.
He comes up, goes up on the back of my stand, puts the can next to my ear and just, you know, shoots it right off. So it knocked me right off the stand. In those days, you know what I did. I turned around, went down, and I
dragged him onto the pier.
No, there was no pier. This is in the bay.
Oh, yes.
This is no, but I pummeled him, right? Man. And Steve Healy came running down and dragged me off of him. And what it was the lifeguard who was down there before me, who was there all the time. That was his buddy, and he was playing a joke on him. And it was a bad scene. But that was, you know, I remember I couldn't hear like for the whole day after that. My ears were like just, you know.
Have you ever had it where like someone's your partner has like whistled and it just hits off their hand?
Just like rips an unexpected whistle like right in your ear.
Right there.
Oh, yes.
We got to cup that, man.
Yeah.
So you talk about Dr. D, you know, a story. I remember a story with him, and it's not on the bay, but in the ocean. And we could bring this up. We were all sitting there, and I swear on a stack of Bibles. I just happened to catch it, and somebody else saw who did it, but somebody took an orange. I'm not making this up, and threw it, right? And perfectly hit Billy right in the back of the head. Like,
was he sitting wood at the time?
Sitting the wood. Okay. He was sitting wood. And we got that guy. We ran, and I don't know if I shouldn't say this. We actually would run after over the boardwalk into the streets. Yeah, you know, yeah. But we caught that guy. But he just took an orange. Maybe it was an apple, but I just remember hit him right in the back of the head. You can't make stuff up like that. There's another guy who worked on our beach, and his name was Roger, and he was he became a police officer. But this guy was a black belt. He taught it. He was really tough. Right. So, you know, we got plenty of tough guys, but here's the deal. On a Sunday afternoon, and you guys now will know I'm not making this up because you all worked on the beach where we work. And tell me how plausible. What happened was somebody jumped a fence on his beach, but the guy who jumped a fence had a karate outfit on. I'm not making that up.
So do you try to fight that guy?
Wait. So what happens? So what happens?
He's like asking for a fight.
Right, he jumped,
the guy's gonna use his feet.
He's like, I'm here for the Tekken tournament.
Right. And so what happened is he went up and the guy started that, you know, making the moves. And Roger just took him right out. It was like 2 seconds he was done. You know. So, but that's you can't make these things up, and you know, working there, how crazy these things could be. So anyway, that was my stories, but you broke the mold with the hair though. You kind of pioneered the, you know,
I take a lot of pride in
this. Hey, maybe you'll get a statue for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard about this. Is this real?
What's that?
Adam has stated he would lose a leg to a shark on a rescue if it meant getting a statue in Seaside.
I'd dangle it. I saw it.
I think about it sometimes when I'm alone on the stand.
I think about it. That all came up because I saw brown, like me and I can't remember who it was, but there was just a lot of bluefish, like just jumping everywhere. And it was like entertaining. And then all of a sudden, like something dropped and it like wasn't a bluefish. Like it looked like Jesse Brown did like a cannonball in front of our stand. And like we saw it, like we saw the underside of its belly, and he like grabbed the radio and I was like, What are you doing? And he was like, I'm gonna call like a man in a gray suit. And I was just like,
You get a lot of
you're not calling a man in a gray suit.
You know, you get Makos, you get bluefin. There's I don't think anybody's got hit by a shark for years and years.
Yeah, but it gets scary though.
Yeah,
he was like, well, what if like he just like genuinely, which is like he's a rookie, and he was just like, well, like what if it like, what if it like bites someone? And I was like, then we go get them.
Do you understand?
Like if we get that person, everyone in the shore knows our name. Like everyone knows who we are. And then he hits me with like the follow up question, which is honestly, you know. Fair. It's like, well, what if you know the shark bite like comes back around? And I'm like, it honestly, like if a shark bites me while I'm saving a shark bite victim, even better, honestly. Because like if I saw it, I'd be like, I dangle it. It's glory.
Nah, you.
It's
won't.
There.
So what you do? See, that's
I,
why
I don't know. There. I don't know it's if you'd be able to do that because I know. I know how much you love being active, and I know how much you love playing soccer.
If it meant a statue on the beach,
you would give up soccer.
All right, where would you put your statue?
Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah, well, they're gonna
in the middle of the JR's dance floor.
Let me tell you something. If the shark bit your leg off, you'd be dead. And the other thing is, yeah, you'd be dead. The other thing is that's why we have boats.
There you go. You got immortalized.
That's why you got to have boats and you got to have boards.
The next step of even better after. The shark gets you.
But that's when it, because they're talking about getting rid of boats. That's why there's a lot of beach trolls who don't have boats at all. We're in New Jersey, is one of the only beaches that use boats for rescues. So that's why you need a boat, you need a paddleboard. You get out there, and if I saw a shark, I ain't going swimming. No way.
Realistically, if someone got bit by a shark when you're lifeguarding, you're honestly not going to know. Sharks, they do like one testing bite and then they swim away. They don't really interact with people.
I think you'd know.
But like, you would see someone in distress on the back of the bar and you'd be like, oh, rescue. And you'd go get them. You know what I mean? That's what it is. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't be able to acknowledge someone.
You're not going to acknowledge that it was a shark until you get out there because you're like, first of all, brown sharks, which is the only thing that we really get, aren't really that big.
We don't disagree with the guest, but I think you would know.
But you're going to.
I think, you know, you throw binos on it. I think they're going to be, you can see blood.
They're
going to
be
water.
Surrounded by a pool
they're,
of
they're
blood.
Gonna, they're they're going to be, you know, there's somebody drowning, swimming in. You know, I think their body English is going to tell you there's something majorly wrong out there. And, you know, but the odds are slim. But you know what? The odds are slim to get hit by a lightning bolt. The odds are slim to get hit by a boat and die. So I can tell you right now, I'll give you the pass on this one. It's possible, but I shark fish for 30 years, really. I used to go out every June, and we would go out 30 miles to the fingers, and we would chum, and you know, we would catch, it would be hard, and Mako and bluefin. So I don't think there's a lot of bad thing. You've made a good point about bluefish. You got more chance of getting bit by bluefish. I've seen people who got, like, the when they school, and the people will be standing there, and I've seen girls and guys come out with big gashes in their thighs. Mm-hmm. You know,
I had one nip me when I was at when I was at the buoy once. I was just like, I just did like a casual buoy swim, and I was out grabbing sand, you know, just hanging out. You know,
I never knew that.
I had one just like nip me in the thigh, and I swam in. So
but when they're feeding,
like, oh my gosh,
when they're feeding, but when they're feeding and they're running up to bait fish, their mouths are open, so they'll just graze you, and their teeth are like razor, so you'll get like a 2-inch. You know, just slice, and it happens very rare. I mean, because I used to swim through schools of bluefish. We don't see them anymore.
Yeah,
but that's more dangerous than the sharks.
You would swim just through a school of bluefish.
Yeah, because you would be swimming. They'd be coming.
And
come. They
just have no choice.
It would be. I tell you,
you
back,
can't get out of that. If one's just coming through you and you're out mid buoy, where are you gonna go? I remember once when I was on the stand, a bunch of guys were out doing a buoy for a mandatory workout, and like they were all at the buoy, and when they turned around, a pod of dolphins popped up between them and the beach.
Yeah.
Just like what are you gonna do
this summer?
Dolphins are never not cool. I just have to say it.
No, dolphins are terrifying.
You don't like dolphins?
I do not want to be in the water with a dolphin.
Says the guy who's just like, yeah, I'll get my shark bit off
dolphins, for a statue.
I'll get my leg bit off for a statue.
Yeah, that's fine. Because you want to know what dolphins do to people?
What?
Dolphins drown people and then rape them.
And then
documented incidents of dolphins like sexually assaulting
you. And then when they hold you down, they're whispering dirty dolphin language things
dirty
in your
clicks.
Ear.
I swear to God, no. I would rather be in the water with a brown shark than, like, first of all, dolphins way bigger because there's zero chance of the shark sexually assaulting me. But there's a chance that Catmar, look it up right now.
You're losing
it's a
listen,
documented
flipper.
Thing that's
listen,
happened.
Did you guys hear about the lady? So I forget what her name was. She actually did an episode on Joe Rogan, but she was living in a room, like an apartment with a dolphin in like waist deep water, trying to teach the dolphin. Is this true? Look at that image.
There's legitimate.
So this lady.
There's sources backing
guys,
up.
You guys.
This lady is trying to teach the dolphin how to speak English. And like, she's kind of getting somewhere with like getting it to, you know, make similar enough noises, but it was a male dolphin and it kept getting really sexually frustrated. So her only option was to like relieve the dolphin, and the whole program got shut down.
No, I think you guys are losing your minds.
So
listen,
to make your point, to clarify your point,
dolphins are the only other like animal on the planet that has sex for pleasure.
Yeah, I think dolphins are about it. I think that's the point that,
Well, first of all, dolphins are mammals, and they're different than sharks. They're mammals. They're not fish.
Cashmore, just read this article I have highlighted right now. But dolphins do get sexually aroused. Their sexual apparatus is such that rape can't be ruled out solely on grounds of mechanical impossibility. In 2002,
who wrote
Washington
stuff?
You're just throwing out our facts.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
you guys,
chances of getting
sexually assaulted. You know what you guys got to worry about? You guys got to worry about drowning in the ocean. That's what you know.
The dolphin will drown you.
No, yeah. I listen. I've seen dolphins. I've seen them at SeaWorld and all that. And
Cruelty?
I grew up with a flipper, you know, so I'm not worried about dolphins.
We all grew up with flipper.
I thought
it was Free Willy.
Free Willy, that's the one I'm thinking of.
I know dolphins.
Remember the Air Bud movies?
Oh my God.
We had a real thing with like anthropomorphizing animals in movies in like the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, what?
A lot of talking animals.
What were those people trying to get away with?
So you know, you talk about the dolphins. I remember times where we would row out and the dolphins, you know, we'd be rowing, swimming next to us. I've watched them ride waves.
They're so cool to watch.
And I've swam from out where they come right past me. But this summer when I was swimming out, you talk about a school, there was a bunker. And it was when I got to the buoy, they were right there. And it was like a wall of fish. And I was like, I ain't going to swim through that. And I turned around. So it is kind of, you ever swim into the pot?
I try my best not to.
The bait
it's
fish?
The bait fish.
Yeah. So, and you can smell it. I mean, I turned right around.
Coming.
Right. But underneath that, there's bluefish and stripers. They sit underneath there. So you don't want to get that.
Uh-oh.
But.
No, we're still alive.
Oh, cool.
If anyone can in the comments let us know if we just went
phased out. For a second.
If we just went black for a minute, that we'd really appreciate that.
Thank you.
It says we're still streaming, so we're gonna keep going ahead. And apologies if there was any kind of delay or blackout. Where were we?
Technical
fish pods.
So what else? So we can let's finish our thing about weekend warriors. So and you know, I think they're good to have. Anything else you wanted to talk about weekend warriors? Because I thought you had a whole bunch of questions about that, or is that at the end of it? No, that's it. No more weekend warriors.
I mean, we're just going where it goes.
I know you're all over
the
place.
You're
giving me a headache.
This is fine. This is perfect, Cashmar.
I'm looking to see if we're still on.
We are.
Nothing. So I think that, what do you call it? I think that you guys like you, hopefully you'll keep on coming back.
Yeah.
You know, you're a big asset to the beach. I'll
get back to you in June.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know,
maybe May. If I'm feeling up.
Well, we got another dollar an hour. I can tell you that.
You know what? You know what? That'll do it.
Another dollar an hour.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Oh, here's the other thing. I'm trying to put the yellow boards. What about the yellow boards? I'm trying to get a whole bunch of yellow boards.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah. Did you ever use the yellow board? Nope. Oh man, it's so nice. It's so nice. I'd like to get every beach have a yellow board.
Can we do tournaments? I'll come back for tournaments.
Yeah, it's tough.
Talking about Lifeguard Avengers. I'm gonna create my own independent tournament team.
Yeah.
I'll have tryouts. Any lifeguard on the Jersey Shore is invited to my tryouts. Oh, man. Yep. We're gonna put together the Lifeguard Avengers.
I don't even
need to be Tony Stark.
You need a lot more lifeguards. I tell you how, if you want to do that, like I said, if we had on a beach, like Lavalette, a good example, the tournament team gets there 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and they train. Yeah.
And then, then the regular lifeguard, then you start your 9 o'clock, the other guys come in and girls, and then you go until 10. It's a lot of work, but you need to have more lifeguards. If we could, I don't want to say double, but another, at least another 10 lifeguards we could find. And you got to recruit swimmers.
That's our biggest issue in CZ Heights about not being able to do tournaments. Whereas like if you talk to my brothers, like they just rode all day. They just had a lot more time on their hands away from the actual duties of being a lifeguard, because they just had a larger beach patrol and had so many more people on the stands where they could work out more midday and get like those rowing miles that they need to do in order to compete with the other rowers in the Jersey Shore. Like a swimmer is a swimmer. You know what I mean? Like if you're a D1 swimmer, you can compete in the lifeguard tournaments and the swimming races no matter what, just because of how much time you're putting into swimming. Like
you're always training.
Like you're always training. And a lot of swimmers lifeguard specifically so they can train in the off season away from college. Whereas like for rowing, like, you don't really have that. So like all your rowing is done in the summer, like nowhere else. So like you have to have the support of the beach patrol to be able to leave your stand and row. Yeah. And you have to have a like officers and leadership in the beach that supports that. Whereas like in Seaside, like we have such a small like staff that like our white shirts can't like ethically support me jumping off the stand for 2 hours in the middle of a Saturday or even a weekday because of how busy it is.
Yeah.
So to just get those rowing miles.
I got a lifeguard boat in my backyard here. Mm-hmm. And Casino and I, that's the oar locks from the boat. We used to start rowing in March, first day of March.
Yeah.
And and a lot of these guys down South Jersey, if they're local, they're going to row. You know, they'll go on weekends. Yeah. I mean, you really can, but that's the kind of dedication you need if you want to be that good. But we need three to do that. You know, that's what I always push for, 3-man stands. That's what I wanted. So if you have 3-man stands or 3-person stands, one person is always training, rowing, paddleboarding. No matter how busy it is. Yeah. I mean, unless there's rescues all over the place, but of course there's breaks and everything. And that's what I would like to see. And if we could do that, we could have competition.
Well, the other issue is that especially for rowing, it's a senior guy on that 3-man that's going to be out rowing. So you need another senior guy with him as well. Like you can't have a senior guy. And like usually like when I would get a 3-man, I would get like 2 junior guards essentially.
Yeah.
And then I can't leave them. Like I would need another senior guard.
Yeah.
So like also do that with.
It's hard. Different beaches are different, but Atlantic City, they work around it. It's a workaround, but and I would love to do it. What I wanted to do, and I've been talking about this for years, is we could probably do it, is have a row race. The Van Dyne row race, an ocean row race. There's really not many around. You know, I have the one in the bay. It could be a 2-mile, and that would be something fantastic. We have the venue for it.
How does this work with the surf boats being phased out of lifeguarding currently?
Not being phased out.
You just said that they were.
No. I didn't say. No, I said that we're the only. New Jersey is the only, according to Tim Harmon, New Jersey is one of the only states that use lifeguards for rescues, for active rescues.
So there's no news about them trying to have less surf boats on NJ beaches.
Now, he didn't say that to me. He didn't say it to us. I mean, there might be some people that are talking about
maybe
it.
Maybe I misheard.
You know, they're not used. Here's the thing. We're not using them for rescues all the time, but you got to have them. And I'm a big proponent of having them. For one, when it's cold, the water in May, you could train.
Which is part of the craft. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a big part of the craft.
It's great training. It's also, if there is a shark or somebody has a heart attack, you have a boat. The jet ski is great. What if the jet ski doesn't work? But I think that the, from the, what do you call it? competition standpoint, one thing we could do is have a row race. We would have and have a nice big purse, and people, other beachers would come from all over the place. I would love to do that. I've been checking that around.
My brothers back in the day when I was watching them, they partaked in a tournament. It was like a boat tournament, and I just remember it was televised, and I watched it at home, and it was just like hundreds of like ACs, Van Dynes, all lined up on the beach, and they like all went. I have no idea what the tournament was, yeah. But I just know that they were involved in tournaments that were just like just rowing, and like they were twins, so like they're the most perfect rowing partner. Right, they're right, just a carbon right. copy of each other. Like right, their strokes right. are exactly the same.
Right. Yeah, those guys from the Social Network, in Harvard that tried to get Mark Zuckerberg the idea for Facebook.
The Winklevoss brothers.
The Winklevoss twins.
They're the Winklevoss twins of rowing.
Nothing's better than having a rowing partner who's like
that's just instant
stroke yeah. length that's perfectly instant, yeah. matches yours.
Right. There's a tournament down, it's called the Gowdies, and it's down in Ventnor. And I participated in that, and that's an unbelievable. It's just all Van Dyne yeah. boats, and the whole idea, you row out to a bag. It's like a 30-pound burlap bag. It floats actually, mm-hmm. but it's heavy, and that's an unbelievable thing to see, especially yeah. when it's like a 20-something boat.
Just watching them all launch at the same time. Right, like the main thing that was televised. And I just saw all of them going to the right. boat, into the water right. water at the same time. It's
right,
crazy.
Right,
it is madness.
It's just, oh my god.
I bet one thing that is going to change is all those guys and girls are going to be wearing helmets yeah. from now on. I think that's going to be standard.
Maybe during a tournament.
For tournaments, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know about
but, it. Real quick, we have two comments. Frank says, yes, we did go blue. So we cut out for a minute. Sorry about that. Don't know what happened. Jack Van Schoik left a comment. He says, as the show's resident marine biologist, I feel like I should point out that there was no evidence of dolphins raping humans or other dolphins for that matter.
Just for a fact, just to point out that Jack Van Schoik is one of my old stand partners and just like to discredit everything I say. So,
I
take that with a grain of salt. I think he is using his title as a marine biologist to, to get us to not look it up further and to just take his word.
So are you saying Jack is dating a dolphin? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not going to rule
Jack's
it out.
Over there saying,
I'm
not gonna rule it was completely out. Consensual.
I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not. I'm sorry, Jack.
Poor Jack.
He's a skeptic.
No, Jack. Jack's a serious scientist.
You want to hear something funny about Jack? You want to hear something funny about Jack? For some reason, I got into the habit of telling people that sharks, because like their skin is teeth-like, that when they bump you, it's like they're tasting you. And I completely made it up. But I said that to like mess with people while I was like lifeguarding.
Yeah.
Because you get so many stupid questions. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So I would tell people that. And like I started telling people that, and I like literally forgot that it wasn't true. until one day that I said that in front of Jack, and he was like, I don't think that's true. And then I like had to think about it, and I was like, oh wait, like that might have just been something I made up.
Yeah, you lied been saying so much.
And it took 5 years. It took that's on all of you guys. That it took 5 years for someone to call me out on it.
Oh, that is rich.
That does not back up what he said about the dolphins.
I just to
state that.
I'm gonna be honest, I think I'm gonna take Jack's word.
Whatever.
On this matter.
Whatever.
There was some NASA scientist lady who reports that she had sex with a dolphin while working for NASA.
That's what I think that's the lady in the waist deep pool.
Yes.
I don't know. Those things are sexually aggressive and I don't want to be in a water with it.
Halovat.
Yeah, that's her, I think.
The dolphin who loved me.
Wait, just... In the 1960s, Margaret Lovat was part of a NASA-funded project to communicate with dolphins. Soon, she was living with Peter 24 hours a day in a converted house. Christopher Riley reports on an experiment that went tragically wrong.
Crazy.
Yeah. So
well, let's just move on from there.
Yeah, yeah. We're
topic
done.
Is pretty rough.
We're over this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like to think that this show, and I think we're all in agreement about this, but this show is not only about lifeguarding and the ocean, but the people that love lifeguarding in the ocean. And you know, you have other interests other than just lifeguarding. So what are some of those? I know you love playing soccer.
Yeah,
I play soccer. I know you're kind of into the finance world and you file some charts. So.
Yeah, I do some stuff that, like, whenever I get asked what I do, like, for my big boy job, no one really understands, least of all.
I'm going to be honest. I've heard it 50 times. Not once have I understood a word of it.
It doesn't get any better every time. I do back office financing for a tech company.
Okay.
And that's usually where I lose people. Our company,
to be honest,
our company is a tech company that provides financial institutes with programs to do their back office, do all the accounting after they make all their transactions and stuff. And we give them those programs so they can do all that. And then we also offer them essentially outsourcing of all their back office. So they just don't have to do it. And that's what pretty much all of our clients do. They don't really use our services without that. So, okay. And we also provide just like overview of all their funds, and we flag any potential audit risks as well. So like we also provide that for them as well.
Okay.
Just an outside company doing that, and it allows them to focus more on financial advising with their clients specifically.
Cool.
Did you get that?
No, not like,
yeah.
But so now that the boring part of introducing yourself is over.
Yeah.
What's like, I know you two wanted to talk about, like, Sean has some questions about cryptocurrency. One question I did want to ask you, though, is because you were a college soccer player.
Yeah.
And
the leading scorer on our rec team.
You were the leading scorer on our good sports team, Watermen FC.
Yeah.
That's the real accolade.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's better than any accolade I got in college.
Like, how important was lifeguarding for you in staying in shape for college soccer?
Well, anytime I went back to college soccer, I was one of the most in shape guys. The only ones that were more in shape than me going back were my good friends, Josh, Andrew, Chris. You know them. Yeah. I don't know if you met them in Keith, but I'm pretty sure they just like wouldn't allow their pride to like their pride wouldn't let them beat me. Like wouldn't let me beat them. You know what I mean? They just all had a little bit more heart than me. You know what I mean? So like, but I always went back pretty decent shape because running in sand all summer and then getting like actual cleats on and running on a turf is just so much more efficient. I felt so much quicker. And it always just like anytime I talked to any of our fitness coaches, they would give all the players like packets of like workout plans and fitness plans and goals they needed to meet in the off season. And I would just tell them, hey, I work on a beach patrol. Do I need to do this on top of my like daily 1 hour mandatory workouts on the beach? And they just were like, no, I'm not even gonna send it to you. So it helped me with that a lot, because if it wasn't for lifeguarding, I would not be in nearly good enough shape to go back.
Yeah.
I would have had a really hard time getting to the same level of fitness that I had at the end of the summer without lifeguarding.
Yeah, we've had guys on our beach in Lavalette who were, you know, big time soccer players, and they were unbelievable athletes. Mm-hmm. They were tough in the water. I mean, there's one guy, John Arkins. He was, man, I think he did both. He played soccer and he was a swimmer. And there was
land and sea.
There was two brothers who worked at State Park. I can't remember. And they were just like unbelievable soccer players. And they were just tough athletes. So, you know, we get the wrestlers, but soccer, I would say, you know, it was another group of people who were really, really tough. And they were, I always, because when we used to do swim, run, swims, and they always started to walk me down, you know, because they would get me in.
When I was younger, I would going to the runs, like swim runs, like knowing I wasn't as strong as like the older guys, I would try to beat them by as far as I could
in the run.
Yeah. And then I'd get into the water and then they would all pass me. And
that was always my
last one. But like when I was younger, like I kept it like respectable. I wasn't like way behind them, like the other rookies that I had, but it was because of the lead that I took in like going into the water.
Yeah.
Well, it's so like the transition, especially when you're playing soccer, or I mean any land sport for that matter, but from running on the sand where just every step you take is being absorbed,
it's all calves.
Like 2 inches, you know, like you're sinking. To hop back onto the turf, throw some cleats on, it's like a great feeling.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was just flying. It was good. I remember they used to call, like, my freshman year, like I was running around because I had like the tan and like the bleach blonde hair, and they were calling me Baywatch and like our first day and stuff, making fun of me.
Oh, Baywatch jokes.
The best.
Do you guys get tired of those?
No.
No,
no. I have a notes in my phone of like Baywatch quotes, just so I can like refresh before the summer, just to
You know what?
Hang up your shorts,
bro. I'm gonna start using more Baywatch quotes on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
Ham it up.
I'm also speaking of the new movie Baywatch, not like the series with David Hasselhoff.
Oh,
I'm talking about the one with The Rock and Zac Efron.
That was pretty funny.
That movie.
You got to watch that more than once.
That movie's terrible, but like the funny thing about it,
I think it's hilarious. No, it's
hilarious because they make fun of the movie the entire time. Where like the lifeguards are trying to figure out who's smuggling drugs into their beach. They're chasing these guys, and like a cop is just like, "Yo, you're
a lifeguard."
They're just a lifeguard.
Yeah.
They're lifeguards. You don't have any jurisdiction here. And they're like, you're just a lifeguard.
Yeah, it's like
you don't
anybody
have jurisdiction. You're just people chasing people.
But if you look at that movie, because I watched some things and I read some things about it and I watched it again. As if you watch it, like as the movie goes on, I think the girl's boobs get bigger as time goes on.
I heard that.
And then also like they're slow. They're running like real slow. They're just a little sweat, they do goof.
I will say The Rock committed to his best impression of lifeguard culture, and I appreciate it.
Well, your generation.
I think they did a good job.
Honestly, just because of how funny they made fun of the premise of the movie so well. And like the quotes in the movie were so funny. Like you don't just watch the Bay. You are the Bay. And like saying that to the rookies after they got announced in roll call that they were on the Bay for like the fifth day in a row. I'm like, take it seriously. You are the Bay. Mikey Valerini.
Your generation was Baywatch. My generation, when I started, was 77. There was a movie came out, I don't know if it was 76, 77, something. It was called Lifeguard. With Sam Elliott, and actually, it's a weird. If you watch it now, I mean, to me, it's like the guy was, a pedophile.
That was like a James Patterson book or something like that, right?
Yeah. But he has
read the book.
Well,
he didn't age well.
He has. It's like he has sex with a certain girl. But my point
is, he runs
that,
away with this girl, right? Steal money from something?
No. But forget. You got to watch the movie. It's. But the thing is, what happened was when that movie came out, there was a song, "Hey, I want to be a lifeguard," and so we would be moving the boat back in the morning or setting up the stands, and people would be busting our behind, singing a song like, "Oh, I want to be a lifeguard," and, just edging us on. So we had to deal with that. And Baywatch was kind of like that too. I think it depends on who watched it and how they came. Some people thought it elevated lifeguards. Other people thought it made us look like idiots. Well,
when we watched Baywatch, I remember when it came out that summer,
Did you go when we were in
costume? Yeah, no. We went our the majority of our beach patrol went to see that movie directly after work, and we all showed up in our lifeguards.
The series or the new movie?
The new movie.
With the rock.
We just went straight from the beach. All right. I remember I changed and showered. All right. But like I put on a jacket or something like that. And all of a sudden I'm like buying my ticket and I see McKee walking like from the bathroom into the thing in his lifeguard shorts, like
I probably
a t-shirt, a whistle, and barefoot.
Oh man!
In the barefoot, and I walked into the movie.
You really,
theater,
Sean? You did that? Oh, that's terrible, man!
This summer I never wear shoes.
I walk into the movie theater, and it's 20 of our guards and no one.
Yo, SHBP rolls deep. We had like we mentioned earlier. You know where Good Sports is in Wall?
We had
a soccer team that played in the men's league there this summer, and we would show up with like 20 people to watch our games to like this meaningless men's league where the other dudes are just like showing up after work just trying to have fun
yeah.
And we're showing up in full lifeguard uniform, we're zinking our faces before the game.
So we used to have the softball games with a keg of beer, and I wish unfortunately we can't do it anymore because half the kids, but we used to have these epic games where, and we would have play the police or a lot of times just ourselves, and we'd have one guy would be the pitcher. And with a keg of beer, by the end of the day, the end of the night, the keg of beer is just about done, and you couldn't even run the bases yourself. But that was good. One thing that we do have is ourselves. It's almost like having a big family. When you're growing up, like I had six brothers and sisters. So when I was younger, we'd hang out with my brothers and sisters and play with them. We hang out. We over the years, that has been one of the things that I miss a lot. That's why I try to have where every Sunday I would have the lifeguard, we go to pizza, and I thought that was so important to do.
When's
to
keep last us time together. You did that? Last time was the first weekend I ever worked on the beach.
You know, I tell you what, Corona kind of put a kibosh on that too.
Corona and, 7 years
and,
ago.
And, yeah, no.
7 years ago.
Bird flu, right? What was it?
It was the avian flu back then.
You know, but we used to have softball. We would do volunteer stuff like with cardboard, collect cardboard. We did a lot of things. And I think that, but we try to do that.
The camaraderie of lifeguarding is
good. Well, if you want to talk about like weekend warriors and like why like I come back and stuff, it's really for like my relationships at the beach, not pretty much anything else. Like you can say like, oh, it keeps you in shape, you want to stay in the sun, but like I stressed earlier, like my relationship with the beach changed over time of like my 9 years here, where like now I'm like not really comfortable unless I'm like on the wood, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas like my relationship when I first started lifeguarding with like the beach patrols and like the like white shirts and the bosses, where I was like terrified of them and about messing up and everything, and like where that has evolved over 9 years, where like I view all the white shirts as like my friends. They're guys that I respect and I still look up to, but like I have like a really good relationship and a friendship with them, you know what I mean? And then apart from that, I have my relationship with like the red shirts and all of us, you know what I mean, where I've seen like myself grow over these 9 years when I was just an 18-year-old kid terrified to sit on the beach, whereas like now as a 9 year, like I can look at like Sean, who was like a rookie when I was like a 5 year, you know what I mean? I can now also watch how much like Sean has grown over like his like 5 or 6 years at the beach, you know what I mean? And it's like those are the things that get you coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the family, you know, because like I have like my weekends, you know what I mean? You say you want to come and tan on the beach, I can tan on the beach every Saturday, Sunday if I want to and not work. You know what I mean? I could go wherever I want.
Like literally either way, you're going to be coming to the beach and hanging out with us. Like,
yeah, like exactly. Like, why wouldn't I like come back at that point? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
so you are coming back.
I told you that's a June decision.
Calmly, dude.
I got 6 more months to make that decision. But no, that's like, that's really why I feel like a lot of the weekend warriors come back is because they feel like an attachment to the family that surrounds whatever beach patrol they join.
I think that there is no denying the kind of bonds that are built when you kind of go through what we've all been through together and what any lifeguards go through together while sitting the stand and the things they see and the stuff they deal with.
I think, and that's important. That's one
unbreakable bond.
You're 9 years now, like me, I'm, almost 30. I like to see, that's one of the things that brings me back. And you ask me, it's seeing you guys come in when you're 16, 17, 18, 20, whatever, and then mature over the next, 5, 6, 7 years. And you guys become better lifeguards, better,
McKee's come a long way. McKee's come a long way.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, he's come a long
Since the rookie that came up to me and said, I can row by myself. I can row by myself. McKee came up to me one day as a rookie and he asked me to teach him how to launch the boat.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Teach me how to launch a boat. And I was like, okay, like how are you rowing? He's like, oh, I'm a great rower for a rookie. I know what I'm doing in that boat. And I was like, really? I was like, do you think you could row alone? He's like, well, I haven't rowed alone, but like I could do it. And I was like, okay. Flat day, like completely flat.
There's a lot of wind.
Botches the first launch of the boat so badly we have to reset. Pull the boat out of the water, reset completely. And we get out, and I'm sitting in front of headquarters, and I'm just like, oh, like McKee, like, you said you were like a good rower, right? Like you think you know what you're doing. And he was like, yeah. So I was like, all right, and I popped my oars, I just jumped out and swam the shore and left him out there. And for the next 30 minutes he rowed in a circle in front of our headquarters. Just in a circle. And we left him there. We left him there for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden McKee just has this like amazing stroke where he's like leaning, his arms are straight. And I was like, oh my, did he figure it out? Like he just go through like a learning curve. This is amazing. Like then all of a sudden out behind the boat is a paddleboard with McKee on, and I realize it's our assistant captain Troy Van Heist in the boat rowing back, and I'm just like, what did I just do?
Yeah, you got lit up. What did I just do?
So I ran back though, and I get the boat out of the water with Troy, and he just like looks. He's like, did you just leave like a rookie in a boat? Did you like ditch him and swim the shore? And I was like, yeah, that might have happened. And he was just like, dude, like he's been rowing in a circle in front of the headquarters for a half hour. That's we've been watching him Like, it's like the funniest thing that's happened all week. It was windy. So it's the funniest thing that's happened all week. I was like, yeah, he was talking himself up too. And he was talking himself up as a rookie that proceeded to throw in a circle. But yeah.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, going forward, I don't think that's gonna happen anymore. You know, with this I hope we don't overreact. That's
I'll give him a helmet next time.
You know, like I said, the boat, we've used the boat for all those years. And it's a great thing. But getting back to, you know, with watching people and why we do what we do, I watch you guys and girls, you know, get better at your craft and mature. And that's what brings me back. I like to see, you know, see that. It gives us a lot of good feeling. And plus, there's nothing like, you know, when we've all been, you guys all work with me, when the shit's hitting the fan and there's bad water, we're all, you guys all rise to it. I see the gleam in your eye. I mean, you know, we all get, your attitudes change totally different. And it's that sport, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's the, I don't want to say it's the battle, but it's definitely a feeling where it just energizes you and you know, you're saving people's lives and, you know, you're cranking through the ocean and, you know, it's a challenge. So, I mean, there's nothing, that's another reason you come back for that too, but also, like you said, the family. And I got to try to bring back the Sunday afternoon or Saturday, you know, pizza.
You do realize that you just said that on the internet. Weekend. Where it will be saved forever.
You guys got to do this. I got to have people go, but I definitely want to do our Sunday.
Free pizza every Sunday.
Yeah.
Dr. Michael Catchmar. It's on the podcast.
Keep saying, yeah.
Well, we'll try it again.
Happened.
Yeah, I've done.
All of our listeners can come.
I did that for so many years, and I tell you what, it's great. Especially, you know, it's really where we have to do it for sure is when we have a really crazy day and we was busy. Yeah. And we had multiple rescues because that's when it's that cold beer and the pizza, and you talk about what happened that day.
Now it's the fire department's issue,
right? But the thing is, it's the stories. It's the stories that you had that day that you could talk about. And that's something we definitely bring back. So,
oh yeah.
So we're about an hour and almost an hour and a half. So what do you think, guys? Anything else you want to keep going or you want to,
Sean, you got any crypto else? Questions for this guy?
Because I think it's getting,
is it time to buy Bitcoin or should we sell? I heard it was a bear market recently.
And no one really knows is the bear market until it's like well into the bear market, I feel like. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, but like a bear market, regardless if you know it, you're in it or not, like a bear market is good to acquire a quantity of coins because the prices are all down. You know what I mean?
But aren't they going down perpetually almost? Or
no, I mean,
foreseeable?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to give financial advice. I'll tell you what I do. I essentially mine helium, mm-hmm. which is done through hooking up a helium router to the internet, which emits a lo-fi signal mm-hmm. to allow people to connect to this. It's essentially like a competitor to the World Wide Web, and the more
what's that called?
It's the Helium network.
Okay.
It's called the People's Network.
That's not the dark web.
No, that's where you find videos of dolphins doing stuff.
But yeah, if you contribute to their, like, you just hook up a router with an antenna and you emit like a lo-fi signal the same way like a cell tower does, essentially. And then the more essentially like activity that goes through your router and the more other routers that like it's connected to, the larger like broadband.
Is helium a coin?
Helium is a coin. And you get rewarded with helium currency. Like me and Tyler have a router in Seaside that we split and
we're getting rich on internet money, baby.
Yeah. So we accumulate helium coins over time. We essentially do 0.7 of a coin a day recently. That's what it's been kind of doing.
It's like $25 a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like I have two other routers as well that I have.
What you're doing with a helium router is you're contributing to a signal that supports smart devices. So all the city bikes in New York City, if you hook them up to like a helium network, then they could communicate with each other through that.
Are they hooked up to a helium network?
No, that's just like an example.
But
they're also
Amazon's kind of doing the same thing. Yeah. So there's a competitor there.
Yeah, and then
but Helium's, it's a very interesting idea.
Helium's also going into a 5G like phone network, so like I can essentially hook up a 5G antenna to our router, emit that signal, and then when people connect to it, I get rewarded in the coin, and then I just generate that coin over time. And the larger router I have, or the larger antenna I have, I
so there's Helium and there's Helium coins. Or is it synonymous?
It's the Helium network.
It's the Helium network that runs on the Helium coin. Okay. Like that's what, like, if you want to go on that network and like contribute.
So, so you're providing the service that is Helium internet network.
Yeah. Yes, okay. The people's network.
Yeah. And you can connect to it wherever. It's a, instead of like a Wi-Fi signal, which is like within your house, it's a long five signal that you can connect to anywhere. And like I pretty like the signal that we send out goes to about Sandy Hook to like Atlantic City. At the farthest from Seaside.
Do you need an internet plan to use Helium? Or like, how do you connect to Helium?
I don't really use Helium. I'm being honest. I'm just kind of in it for.
It's a great way.
Yeah.
Dipping our toes. We sounded like experts for a hot second.
But it's a way. I don't utilize the services that Helium provides, but I just offer them.
Okay.
For a reward.
Great. All right. Well, are we going to finish on that?
Any questions about that, Cashmore? You want to get on? You want to sponsor me and Tyler's Helium mining cruise?
I got my own investments. I mean, you know, I'm dealing with enough crap. I'm worried about inflation and everything else. I don't even want to talk about that stuff.
That's why I'm decentralizing my money, so I don't have to worry about inflation. It's just, you know, the bear market is worse.
Think about this, Cashmore, because I get excited about the other stuff. Like, you know, we talk about this, like the metaverse stuff and NFTs. So what you could do is say we make this podcast, we could put like a digital stamp on it that makes it totally original and non-replicable. The NFT stands for non-fungible token. We could do that to our podcast and sell like an original copy of it to someone, and they can own like a one of one copy of our podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to buy it.
People are already buying that.
Listen, I'm working with
hey, if you don't believe in your own product,
I'm working with Elon Musk right now.
What are you guys working on?
You own
Tesla.
He won Person of the Year.
They're making whistles together.
So I was listening to him. He was talking about he believes we're in a simulation.
How about this? I have an idea. If we can get 1,000 followers on this channel, we'll find a way to give 10 of those whistles away. 10 of those Tesla whistles,
or just 10 NFTs away.
Yeah.
Or 10 NFT. We'll make an NFT and give it to you, a worthless NFT.
Eventually, what we should do is you could have if people listen to us. We could give away something during the show. That's something, you know, you could do. But, that's for another day. No,
So hit that subscribe button.
Right. Listen to us. So I appreciate you coming today. It was great.
It was a pleasure to be here.
I just want to make it clear. We have no idea what we're talking about when it comes to this financial stuff.
No, it's just my best.
I thought you were gonna say you have no idea what you're talking about on anything.
That's also fairly accurate.
I think that's self-evident.
Why do you put a limit on it?
I believe I'm an expert in something.
All right. Well, listen. This is an opinion show, right? So we all have opinions. So anyway, my name is Dr. Michael Cashmore. We have this is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Cashmore. Sean's going to put up some. Sean, put up some of our stuff there. So that's our webpage. How about putting our email address, which is drcatchmar@icloud.com. And we're on every week, hopefully every Tuesday. We have a lifeguard show. You guys could comment. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcast. I'm sorry. It's getting a long night. And we're on YouTube and Facebook. And you guys could follow us. You could comment and when we're live. And we'd love to hear from you guys. And Sean, what do you want to say? Anything?
Yeah. No.
Nothing.
Instagram.
What's our Instagram?
Instagram at IG@LG.association.
All right. So you guys could get us there. Tyler, anything to add?
Adam, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Do you know how you were wonderful.
Thank you.
Do you know how we sign off?
Stay out, stay alone.
Yeah, you let's get the music going. You do as much as you want. You put your own spin on it. This part's about you, you know? And you have, if you have anything else you want to share or promote.
And we're going to say goodnight to everybody.
I don't really have much. I'm just gonna say
maybe your personal Instagram page.
Nah, I already got enough followers. I don't need any more. I don't think anyone who I don't already follow is watching this to begin with. So
fair enough.
That's fair.
The floor is yours. Give us the sign out.
Stay out, stay alive. That's all I gotta say.
Nice. That's it. All right, everyone. Good night. Thanks for watching.